there seems to be a redundancy in the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah and Hilchas Shavuos. He repeats the same halacha twice. And as we know, that's unusual for the Rambam to do such a thing. Our discussion in the Rambam is going to be a focus now on the concept of Nidui. The Rambam has, at the end of Hilchas Talmud Torah, 24 cases in which we put someone into Nidui. I'll just read it to you. It's not on your page. The Rambam Perek Vav, Halach Yudalit, says, Al arba vi esrim dvarim minadin es ha'odam. Which means that if a person has violated one of these 24 Isurim because of the severity of these Isurim, he deserves Nidui. Nidui is a kind of a cherim. It's not exactly a cherim, but it's not a pleasant punishment for a person to be a Nidui.
It's like Yerushalayim cherim.
So one of the 24 cases that the Rambam has is Hamazkir Shem Shamayim Levatola Olishvua Bedivrei Havoy. And that you'll have on the first source on page 1, which you only have page 1 at this point. We're going to give out some more pages in Mishnah later, but... Now, the Rama mentions Mazkir Shem Shamayim Levatola as a category unto itself without mentioning Shvuah. And then he adds the case of Shvuah, what's called a Shvuah Shav, or Shvuah B'divrei Avoy, the Rambam calls it. So this is a case where a person deserves Nidui. That's the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Perek Vav. You should know, I study the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah a lot, but Perek Vav very little. Because Perek Vav is really a world unto itself. In fact, the Mefarshim spend a lot of time trying to figure out why the Rambam incorporated Perek Vav, the laws of Nidui, into Hilchas Talmud Torah. It's not too clear. There's a sefer, for example, in Hilchas Talmud Torah, Gvus Yitzchak, he leaves out this entire perek. The Rambam in Hilchas Shavuos, at the very end, in Perek Yud Beis, and this will be the second source on your page, again repeats what he said in Hilchas Talmud Torah. And he writes, Halacha tes hashomea hazkoras hashem mipi chaver l'shov o shenishba l'fonov l'sheker. And here he adds, notice, o shebireich bracha she'en atzricha. Now, what happens if he hears a bracha she'en atzricha? So I'm going to skip a few words and come right back to them. Hareze chayov linadoso. Notice the difference in language. In Hilchas Talmud Torah, the Rambam uses the language al arboim v'yesrim dvar minadim esodim. He doesn't say chayov linadoso. Here he says hareze chayov linadoso. Also he adds bracha sheinetzricha. Now here's the bombshell. Listen to this. Here the Rambam drops the bomb. He writes, V'im lo nido, hu bi'atzmo yehei b'nidui. Not only is there an issue of the violator of the crime who deserves this punishment of nidui, you got a whammy, give him a whammy, but you yourself deserve to be punished with the same punishment if you don't give him a whammy, if you don't put him into nidui. So let me ask here three questions. Question number one, why does the Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah omit Birech Bracha Shein Etzricha? Question number two, why does the Rambam repeat in two places, once in Hilchas Talmud Torah, once in Hilchas Shavuos, that if you hear someone being motzi Shem Shamayim Levatola or a Shvuah Shav, you have to put him into Nidui, he's Chayiv Nidui. Twice the Rambam says that. That's unusual. And question number three, the Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah says nothing about a person who fails to put someone else into Nidu. In this case, someone who was Maskir Shem Shemayim Vatol, he took a Shavuah Shav. In Hilchas Shavuos, the Rambam adds that if you don't put him into Nidui, then you yourself are Chayev Nidui. Clear? Now the source for the Rambam is a Gemara Nidarim. The Gemara says in Nidarim Dav Zayin, which is the third major source on your page, Hashomea Azkaras Hashem Levatol V'chaver Tzarch L'Nadoso V'imlo Nidahu Hu B'Aksmo Yehei B'Nidui. But there's one major issue over here. The Mefarshim, the Rishonim on Adarim, that's the Ran and the Rush, they claim, they interpret the Gemara as referring to a case of Mazkir Shem Shamayim Levatola below Shavua. He mentions, he utters the name of God without a Shavua. And in such a case, if he doesn't take a Shavua, he violates an essay. So please make a mental note, Belina will come back to it in a few minutes. What is this essay that you violate if you enunciate the name of God in vain? But the Ran and the Rush agree that even though Hashomea Hazkar Hashem, or let's call it this, Hazkar Hashem Levatola is only an essay, nevertheless, it is severe enough, it's weighty enough of a violation to deserve being put into Nidui. And not only that, if you don't put him into Nidui, deserve that you yourself be into Nidui. That's on one side of the coin. On the other side of the coin, if you look in the what's called the Sefer Mafteach of the Rambam, the Frankel edition of the Rambam, he quotes a number of Mefarshei Rambam, and we'll mention just right now the Tumim, which is the fourth major paragraph on your page, who claim in the Rambam, and again, if we had time, we would go through the language of the Rambam to prove this or disprove it, that the Rambam disagrees with the Ran and the Rush. According to the Rambam, only in the case where you heard a Shvua Shav or a Bracha Levatola, only in those two cases, if you did not put the gentleman into Nidui, you yourself deserve to be put into Nidui. But in the case of Azkaras Shem Shamayim Levatola, although that violation is severe enough to generate Nidui, but it doesn't go that far such that if you don't put him into Nidui, you yourself are in Nidui. So what I'd ask you to do now, if we had a blackboard, I would do this on the blackboard, but since we don't have one, I don't know if you have a pen, but here's one extra pen that I could offer you. It may be turned to the back of this page and make yourself a little bit of a chart. Okay? And on the chart, you want to put on the right column, the heading on the right column would be Hazkaras Shem Shamayim Levatola. Just give me 1 minute, because once you see the chart, then I'll be ready for questions. You know, right now I'm not ready for questions, I apologize. But just I want to get the facts on the ground. So you have, on top right, you have Hazkaras Shem Shamayim Levatola. Good? On the left side, you put a line down the middle, and on the left column, I want you to put, and this will be Aleph and Beis, put Shavua Shav on one line, and Bracha Levatola on another line. Now, having set that up as your category heads, we're going to try to answer two questions. So you might want to put on the extreme right the following question, and then underneath that another question. First question is the nature of the Avera. Now it's Chumras HaAvera. In the case of Hazkaras Shem Levatola, we have what's called an Iser Aseh. That means you violated a positive command. We haven't discussed what that command is, but we'll come back to that. In the cases of what? of Motzi, I'm sorry, of Shvua Shav and Bracha Levatola, you have a lo sase. By the way, what's more severe, an essay or a lo sase? In general, what's in, you know, if you structured the lo sase is much more severe. Okay? Now, the second question I want you to ask on the extreme right is, are you chayev nidu for violating these isurim? And the answer straight across the board is yes. Ken, yesh chayev nidu. The third question I want to ask you is, are you yourself chayev nidu if you fail to zap the guy with a nidu? And here we have a distinction. When you violate an essay, when you hear the violation of an essay, meaning Maskir Shem Shemaim Vatola, you're not chayev nidu. But if you hear a Shvua Shav or a Bracha Sheina Tzricha, and you fail to put the motzi into nidu, you yourself are chayev nidu. Now we skipped a few words in the Rambam. Let's go back to the Rambam in Hilchos Shvuos Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tes. The Rambam says, and I'm going to deliberately leave out the first phrase in the Rambam, see up into the word O on the top line. So just bracket those first words up to the word O. Nishpa lefanav l'sheker al shebirech bracha shena tzricha shu over, please underline those words, shu over mishum nosei shem Hashem lashov. The Torah in Shmos, Perek Chav, in the Aseres HaDibros, says lo tisa es shem Hashem lashov. That's a lav. So the Tumim reads the Rambam as follows. That even though Shomea Hazkaras Hashem, or let's leave out the word Shomea, even though Hazkaras Hashem, Lishav, is a violation of an essay, not to be taken lightly, but it doesn't come up to the next Madrega. It doesn't, you don't jack it up one notch to a lav. When do you jack it up to a lav? That's only in the case of Shvua, or in the case of what? Of bracha sheino tzrich. In those cases, you violate the law. Now, the Rambam then splits. He says, in any of the three cases that are mentioned, namely, hazkaras Hashem levatola, l'shav, excuse me, which is a violation of what? Of an essay. And how much more so in the case of a shvur shav, a shvur sheker, and brach shen tzich, which is a violation of a lav, in all those three cases, he's chayv nidu. And he says, kemoshe b'yarno bilchus brachos. He's chayv nidu. Now, what is kemoshe b'yarno bilchus brachos? We'll get to this later. The Rambam bilchus brachos says that if you recite a bracha shen tzricha, there's no need for this bracha, then you violate the lav of lotisa. And therefore, in these three cases above, Hareza Chayv Lenadoso. Now, then the Rambam says, V'im lo nido hu bi'atzmo yeh benidui. This, according to Tumim, is referring to the last cases in the Rambam where you violate a lav. When do you violate the lav of Lotisa? In Shvua Shav and in Bracha Sheina Tzricha. In those cases, if you don't put the Motzi, I'll call him. If you don't put him into Nidu, you yourself are Chayev Nidu. So we're beginning to see now what's unfolding, and Joel, I'll come right back to hear your question, but what's unfolding in front of our eyes now is a fundamental difference between the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Nidu and the Rambam here in Hilchos Shvuos. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah is talking about a violation, the nature of which deserves nidu. And therefore the Rambam mentions Mazkir Shem Shamayim Levatola, and how much more so in the cases of Shvua Shav, where he mentions the name of Shamayim Levatola in a Shvua, that's a violation of a lav, and Bracha Sheina Tzricha, which is a violation of the lav. Certainly a chayv nidu. But the Rambam in Hilchos Shvuos is addressing a different question. Not the Avera which generates Nidui, but the Avera which, if you fail to put someone into Nidui, you yourself are Chayev Nidui. And in that context, the Rambam adds that new din, that failure to put someone into nidui, itself generates nidui. But here, says the Tumim, the Rambam limits himself to a violation of the law. When do you violate the law of Lotisa? Only in two cases, namely what?
Shua Shav.
And Motzi, and Bracha, Shenet Tzricha. But the Rambam Sheet, as opposed to the Ran and the Rush, who interpret the Gemara Nedarim, when the Gemara Nedarim says, HaShomei Azkar HaShem Levatolim V'Chavero, Tzarech Lenadoso, V'imlo Nido Hu B'Atzmi Nidui, they assume that even if you didn't take a Shvuah, you just mentioned the name of God in vain, you only violated an essay, nevertheless, if you don't put such a fellow into Nidui, you yourself are Chayev Nidui. The Rambam, on the other hand, in contrast, according to this school of thought, and again, it's not just the Tumim. If I'm going to give it to you as a research project, you go into the back, and it's good experience for you to go into the back of the Sefer Maftech. You'll see there's a list of Mechubadika Achronim, that commentaries on the Rambam that all agree that the Rambam makes this distinction between the violation of the essay in the case of Maskir Shem Shemayel Vatola and the violation of the Lav in the cases of Shua Shav and Bracha Shem Tzricha, that in the case where you violate an essay through Azkar Shem Shemayel Vatola, although you're Chayev Nidui, the listener who was passive and failed to put you into Nidui is not Chayev Nidui. When you violate the Lav, in contrast, either in a Bracha, excuse me, in a Shvua Shav, or in a Bracha Shein Tzricha, then not only is he Chayev Nidui, but if you say nothing, you're Chayev Nidui. Joe, you wanted this question, then Azriel will get to you. Okay? Go ahead.
No, just with regards to, I just need to understand the concept. What's the difference between Asko Shem Shemayim Levatara? How are you defining that?
If you were to stand up now, not you, but someone to stand up now and start mentioning the name of God, okay, for no purpose whatsoever.
But it includes, does it not include these two, it sounds like these two other items are subsections.
No, not subsections, that's a whole new category, because here we jack up the Avera, and it's qualitatively and essentially different, because what you do in these cases is you take a Shvua, you recite a Bracha.
So you're not saying that's not Haskar Shem Shemayim
Levatolah? It's much more than that. It's not only Haskar Shem Shemayim Levatolah, but since you did it within the framework of a Shvuah, or within the framework of a Bracha, says the Rambam, you violate Lotisa Shem Shemayim, all of a sudden you're in the violation of a Lav, and if you add a Tumim to Boot, if you don't put such a guy, if you're listening, you don't put him into Cherim, into Nidri, excuse me, you're Chayiv Nidri.
That's real. So it would seem to me that the reason that the Rambam is saying that if you don't put him into Nidri, that you yourself have to, is because that person himself is somehow tied in to those two things. So if, for instance, if he hears a bracha, levatala, so he's hearing that bracha, normally he would have to answer amen, so he's kind of tied into that bracha. So he is like almost part of that avera. And it, the same thing in the shvua, because if he's making a shvua, he's making shvua in front of this guy, so he must have some reason to say the shvua for this guy, so this guy is also complicit in that, so therefore he's...
Because he had to make the Shavuot? How is he related to the Shavuot?
No,
in the case of Bracha, you said something beautiful, right, that he has to answer Amen.
Right.
But in the case of Shavuot,
if somebody is making a Shavuot in front of me, right, it means that there must be some reason that he's saying it in front of me.
So that Azriel, I can't address. The first point was an excellent point. I give you three checks for that. A big kiss and a hug. That's you're right, 100%. That, you know, you are connected to his bracha insofar as you have to say amen. But in the case of Shavuot, I have a problem. Now, mind you, this structure, this table, this chart that you have, disturbs the mind of the Amudei Eish, which is footnote, which is paragraph number 5 on your page. He doesn't understand, since the Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah says black on white that if you're Masker Shem Shavah Torah, even without a Shavuah, you're Chayv Nidui, then why is it that according to the two of his interpretation of the Rambam here in Shavuos, we're going to make a distinction between Maskir Shem Shemayim Levatolah Yechayv Nidui, but you are not considered
and a Shvuah.
And the case of a Shvuah. What's the difference between Haskar Hashem, where Yechayv Nidui for such an Aver, but if you listen passively and don't put him into Nidui, you don't deserve nidui. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says a person's chayev nidui. He repeats himself here in Shavuos for being masker shein shalayim v'atola. Why is it that you, by listening passively and doing nothing, are not chayev nidui, but only in the cases that we mentioned of Shvua Shav and Bracha Shein Etzricha, then and only then are you chayev nidui for not putting him into nidui. So what I want to share with you is a chiddush. I don't know if you ever heard of Rabbi Ari Leib Malin. He had a yeshiva in Brooklyn that was called Beis HaTalmud. Not related to the Beis HaTalmud in Eretz Yisrael. No connection. But the same name. And he too, and that's the sixth paragraph on page one, is medayik from the Rambam that the din of nidui, which the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and the din of nidui, which he codifies a second time in Hilchos Shavuos, a wider repetition, are two fundamentally different din. He says the following. This is on the second line of that paragraph. He says, within the context of Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam is addressing the aver itself and the chiyuv of the avarion, of he who violates that avera, to suffer the punishment of nidui. And in Hilchos Nidui, it doesn't matter who puts him into nidui. Even a Kohen Sheb Yisrael has the power to put him into nidui. That, he says, and you'll see this on line 4, you might want to underline it, is a chiyuv or an onesh hamutal al ha'avaryon. So it reflects the nature and the severity of the aver. Not so, claims Rav Malin, in the case of Hilchos Shavuos. There the Rambam is addressing an entirely different subject matter. And that is the chiyuv of the shomea to put the nosei shem shamayim levatola into nidui. That itself is an independent obligation, which is incumbent upon the Shomea, which has nothing to do right now with Hilchos Onshim. That Hilchos Onshim and how the Motzi, Shem Shemayim Vatol, should be punished, that's the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah, and he lists Maskir Shem Shemayim Vatol amongst 23 other Averos, the punishment of which, and the violation which deserves the punishment of Nid. Here, we're talking about an independent chiyuv on the Shomea, simply because he heard these words, to, so to speak, make a mechah, he calls it, like a protest. What's the goal of the protest? Why is he obligated to make this protest? Says Rav Malin, Kidei shlo yichashev kishutav bavon chilul Hashem. Please underline those words. When you are present and witness a chilul Hashem,
it's like you're a partner.
You're a complicit. You're a part. Unless you stand up and scream and yell. How do you halachically, how do you formulate that mecha? What concrete form does it take? Nidu. You have to put him into nidu. Therefore, says Rav Malin, from the perspective of Hilchos Shavuos, the subject of which is the chiyuv of the shomea, the Rambam adds, or let's say drops the bomb, that if you don't fulfill that chiyuv, you yourself are chayev nidui. And why is that so? Because if you're shomea v'shosek, you become a shutuf of this avera, and therefore you are considered part of this chilul Hashem. And therefore you deserve nidui. Therefore, says Rav Ari Leib Malin, the kasha the lechem mishnah, why didn't the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah add to the list of 24 someone who heard and didn't put him into nidui? He's also chayev nidui. The answer is because that's not relevant to the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah is being mechayev you nidui because of the severity of the violation of the avera of one of the averas of the Torah. Here in Hilchos Shavuos, he's talking about the new halacha of nidui, not because of the violation, but because you are tacitly complying or participating in Chilul Hashem. Oh, therefore, the Rambam in Hilchos Shavuos adds something which we didn't even notice. Take a look. The Rambam says that immediately when you hear it, you put him into Nidui. He also writes that you could be matir the Nidui immediately if you want to. In Hilchas Talmud Torah, the Rambam doesn't say that you have to put him into Nidui immediately. It's a punishment. Any punishment could take time. You know, until Bezdin meets out the punishment, there's no halacha, you have to zap him on the spot. Right? There's going to be a process. And also, in a case of a punishment, you're not going to be matir a person from a Nidui until he does tshuva. But in the case of someone who heard, personally heard, this avera that we mentioned, and he didn't put the guy into Nidui, then he deserves to be put into Nidui. He has to put the fellow into Nidui immediately in order to make an immediate response, a protest, so that he doesn't become a partner in what? In Chil Hashem. And from his perspective, he's not interested in punishing the criminal, therefore he could be matir the Nidui and walk away. Let Bezdin deal with the punishments. That's not his problem. Okay. What Rav Arye Leib Malit does not do, and that's where we come into play, he doesn't address the kasha of the Amudei Esh. Why is it that according to this whole school of thought in the Rambam, the Rambam Hilchos Shavuos makes a distinction between Hazkaras Hashem Levatola, which is only an essay, nevertheless it's severe enough to generate a Chiyuv Nidui, as opposed to the cases of Shvua Shav and Brach Hashem Tzricha, where because of the extreme severity of the Isur, namely, because of the Lav, there's a violation of a Chiyuv Nidui if you don't put him into Nidui. What's that all about?
So he doesn't make that distinction.
Right. But I think that if we understand Rav Arye Leib Malin correctly, we may be able to answer this question. The Parsha in Yisro says, Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, and Rashi interprets that this is referring to a Shvua Shav. And what's a Shvua Shav, says Rashi? And he has one of two possibilities. By the way, these pages are extra if anyone needs them. A Shvua Shav, he says, that he looks at a stone pillar, and he takes a Shvua that's made of gold. A Shvuas Shav also includes someone who looks at a piece of wood and says, I take a Shvua that it's wood. In both cases, the Shvua is meaningless. We know exactly what we're looking at. We don't need a Shvua to tell you that. And in one case, it's even a Shvua Sheker, because he takes a Shvua about something that's stone, that is gold. In any event, if you ask me what lav is when do I violate, what's included under the violation of this lav lotisa according to Rashi, what would be the answer? Shvua. Is that clear? Again, keep in mind the Torah doesn't mention Shvua. Where did Rashi get it from? So it's based on a number of sources. First the Targum Onkelos, but it's more fundamentally based on a Gemara in Shvuas. It's based on a Mechilta. There are many sources that indicate that lotisa applies and is limited to a Shvua Shav. Now we're going to work with the assumption that when he took the Shvua, he mentioned the name of God. Later on we're going to see a bombshell of the Tosas Rid that he says not like that. But everybody and their uncle assumes, because the Torah says lotisa shem Hashem Elokech, that the Shvua was taken with a shame. The Gemara in Brachos is kind of shocking. And we don't know how to take the Gemara brachos. The Gemara says, "Kalam avarech bracha sheina tzricha," which is what we call a bracha levatola, "Eina tzricha over mishum lotisa." What does that sound like to you? If you want to be honest about it, without the pilpulim, simple, straightforward pshat. What does that sound like to you? Is that a violation of a lav d'oraisa? Is it included in the pasuk?
Yes.
But Rashi doesn't mention it in Chumash. The Gemara doesn't mention it in Shavuos. It's a Gemara in Brachos. Tosfos says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Gimel that this Gemara is what's called an asmachta. He says bracha sheina tzricha is not included in the violation minat Torah of lotisa. What the Gemara means by over mishum lotisa is that the Rabbanan consider it as if he violated lotisa. The Rambam, on the other hand, in Hilchas Brachos, which is source number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on your page, the Rambam writes, Kolam avarech bracha sheinat tzricha ha-reizen nosei shem shamayim la-shav, ha-rei k'nishpa la-shav. The Rambam equates mavarech bracha sheinat tzricha with nosei shem shamayim la-shav. And he says it's like nishpa la-shav. And that's the Ram in Ilchus Brachos. The Ram, as we saw in Ilchus Shavuos, referring back to Ilchus Brachos, says the same thing. Okay, we'll read the Rambam again. The Rambam says in Ilchus Shavuos, O shebirech bracha sheinat tzricha shu over mishum nosei shem Hashem l'shav. Kamo shebiarnu b'ilchus brachos. Correct? That was on line 2 of that second paragraph. So in two places, the Rambam subsumes bracha sheinat tzricha under the aver of lotisa. Tosus, as we said before, says nein, that bracha sheinat tzricha, what the Gemara says, over mishum lotisa, that's only midrabbanan. How does Tosus know this? Why does Tosus take the simple, straightforward pshat in the Gemara and remove it, so to speak, undermine it? He says, to omar beperek mishum meso, safek kara emes v'yatziv. He has a doubt whether he already read the bracha of Emes Liyatsiv that ends with Gal Yisrael, or he didn't. Chozer v'kore. Since we hold Emes Liyatsiv Doraisa, so therefore if he has doubts, he should recite the bracha again. Says Tosa, I don't understand. V'lo asrinon misafek. Perhaps he already made the bracha. And if he made the bracha, then it's a safek, mishum lotisa, a violation of lotisa, umotzi shem shemayim levatola. What's bothering Tosus? What do you do in a case of a safek bracha doraisa? L'chora, you should apply the principle of safek doraisa l'chumra. Yeah, but which way do you go? Tosa says, on the one hand, as far as the Chiv Bracha is concerned, you want to cover your bases, you want to make sure and guarantee that you are Yotze your Chiv Bracha, it's a Chiv Doraisa, so you should be Machmer and recite the Bracha. On the other hand, you have a Suffolk Iser Doraisa of Averis Lotisa. And if it comes under Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola, that also is a violation of an Iser Doraisa that comes under a different Pasuk, which we'll see in the Gemara and Temur in 1 second. Either way, you're talking about a Suffolk Doraisa Bitoras Isurim. So what do you do in such a case? What's the logical resolution to a problem where on the one hand you have a Safek Chiyuv, on the other hand you have a Safek Isur? Would you encourage the fellow to make the bracha? Or would you encourage him not to do anything? Says Tosus, you would tell him not to do anything. Why? Because you don't want to get into the possibility of violating an Isur Doraisa of Lotisa. Says Tosus, therefore, I conclude that there is no Isur Doraisa of Lotisa. The entire drasha that the Gemara in Brachos subsumes Bracha Sheinat Tzricha under Lotisa is an asmachta b'alma. We're dealing with an Isur Derabbanan. And since we're dealing with an Isur Derabbanan, in a case of a Chiyuv Doraisa, you're going to make the bracha and you're not worried about the Isur Derabbanan because the Rabbanan are not going to fault you for a violation of an Isur Derabbanan, if you did it in order to be Yotze Yochiv Doraisa. And in this case, there's no violation of the Isur Derabbanan. Had the Isur of Bracha Sheina Tzricha been an Isur Doraisa under Losisa, then in the case of Safek, we would have to be Machmir and we would be passive and omit the bracha. We would not repeat the bracha because maybe we already said the bracha and we were yotze, and the second bracha would be a violation of lotisa. That's a suffix yisud d'oraisa l'chumra. But if the Gemara applies the rule in a suffix bracha, since the bracha is d'oraisa, you have to be machmir and repeat the bracha and not worry about lotisa, says Tosfos, it must mean that there is no lotisa, at least on a d'oraisa level. And that which the Gemara places, bracha shen etzricha on the lotisa, that's only midrabanan. Now, as I mentioned to you a number of times, in addition to lotisa, there is an essay which generates an isur of being mazkir shem shamayim levatola. That essay, as the Gemara derives it in Tmura, which is the fifth paragraph on your page, from the pasuk Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, which means Hashem Elokecha, the name of God, you should fear and revere. So therefore, if you enunciate the name of God for no reason, for no justifiable reason, and you therefore actively have indicated zilzal, a lack of reverence to the name of God, you violate an essay of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. So if you want to go back to the chart that you made, and we remember we said that Mazkir Sheikh Shmael Vatola is a violation of an essay, now you could plug in what the essay is, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. And that's based on a Gemara Tmura Daf Dalet. On the other side of your chart, you have the cases of Shua Shav and Bracha Shein Etzricha, both of which are a violation of a lav. You can plug in the lav of Lotisa Shem Hashem Elokecha L'Shav. Except that here we have a basic machlokas, a fundamental controversy, if you will, between the Rambam on the one hand and Tosus on the other. Rambam takes the Gemara literally in Brachos and assumes that Bracha Shein Etzricha is a violation of lo Tisa Do Raisa. Tosus cannot tolerate that, and therefore he says that the violation here is only Dirabanan. The Shulchan Aruch, if you'll see here towards the end of your page, in Hilchas Brachos, Siman Reish Tes Vav, codifies the Rambam word for word. Says the Magen Avram, Kinishpal Hashav. The Amrinan, he quotes the Gemara in Brachos, the Over Mishum Lotisa. And now he quotes Tosus. He says, Mikolakom, Eino Elamid Rabbanon, Ukras Machtabi Almahi. Vidasa Rambam, Shehudo Raisa. So what we said now is explicit in the Magen Avram. And by the way, you should know for your own, expanded knowledge that it's not just the Rambam holds that Bracha Shein Etzricha is Doraisa on the Lotisa. It's also one of the Bali HaTosfos, quoted by Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yashar, who holds that Bracha Shein Etzricha is a violation of Lotisa Doraisa. So the Rambam is not alone. But I'm more excited about the Magen Avram, because the Magen Avram reads the Rambam exactly as we read the Rambam. That Bracha Shein Etzricha comes under the law of Lotisa. And yet, Tosus's question is gnawing at us. It's like a woodpecker chopping away here. But wait a minute, how can we say Suffolk Lechumra in a Suffolk Brachos? And not only is Tosus correct about a Suffolk Bracha, if it's a Suffolk Doraisa, but the Rambam himself codifies this. And I have here three Rambams for you in Ilchus Brachos. They're not Kisidrum, but just to clarify, the Rambam says, Mishan is topic lo. This is in Perek Dalet Milchus Brachos. He doesn't remember if he recited Amotzi or he did not recite Amotzi. It could happen. Kenzich Chofen, right? Chofen. So, Eino Chozim Mevarech, Mishum, Mipnei, She'eino, Min HaTorah. In other words, Birchas HaNenim is only the Rabbanon. Says the Rambam in Perek Beis Milchus Brachos, Misha Ochal V'Shochach V'lo Birech. And the Rambam at the end of Ilchus Brachos writes, "Kol Brachos Elum Nistapik Lo Behenim Birech Lo Birech Eino Chozer Mevarech Lo Mitchil Lo Besof Mipnei Shehem Midivrei Sofrim." So there's a piece here that got cut off. If we have a Rambam Ava, I can clarify this. Just one second. Oh. Sorry, I apologize. The Rambam, the middle Rambam, Perek Beis Halacha Yudalev, is cut off. The Rambam says like that. Misha achal v'shachach v'lo birech if nizkar kodem shisakel amozim v'mev chozu v'vorech. Oh, this is the part. I apologize, but you make a little note here that there's something missing. Then the Rambam says the following. V'chein im ne'ala mimenu v'lo yoda im birech im lo birech. He doesn't remember if he benched or not. Chozer u'mevorech. Aye, the Rambam sofik bracha. You're not supposed to make a bracha. Exactly. If it's a bracha derabbanan, and the Rambam is so consistent, you know, he's so sensitive, time after time, to make this distinction.
Only if it's soveya.
Correct.
He doesn't say only it's soveya.
Yeah.
Well, I think he does. Yeah, but who shalom is akal a muslim b'meir? It's the last Rambam in Perek Beis. Again, I apologize. I didn't, you know, when I'm cutting and pasting it, I don't know what happened to me. I got cut off. If I can borrow the pen, I just want to make myself a note here. All right. So here, I want to share with you a chiddush of the Prima Gadol. What the Prima Gadol wants to accomplish with this chiddush is to defend the Rambam against the onslaught of Tosfos. How can you say Safik Doraisa L'chumra if Lotisa is Doraisa under the lav of... Sorry, say it again. If Bracha Shein Etzricha is Doraisa under the lav of Lotisa, then, very nice, you want to be Machmir in a Safik Bracha Doraisa and repeat the Bracha. But if you've already recited the Bracha, then you're in violation now, a second round, of Lotisa Doraisa. So it's not fair, it's not logical, to apply the rule of Safik Bracha Doraisa L'chumra at the expense of exposing, of being vulnerable to the violation of Lotisa Doraisa. Says the Prima Gadol. Nay. Anybody want to defend the Rambam? I mean, it's such a beautiful svar.
I would have thought you could actually learn the Rambam as not saying it's deraisa.
Okay, but we're going with the Magen Avraham right now.
Okay, because it's Harei Hu Kinnish Balasha.
Right. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's an excellent point. The Chaf Adimi. But let's go with the Magen Avraham. And the truth be told, that you'll see soon, it's a tshuva in the Rambam. The Rambam in the tshuva is much more outspoken about it. That's going to be on page 2. But hold off in just one moment. So again, we're assuming like the Magen Avraham now, that the Rambam, we know it's Rabbeinu Ephraim, we know also the Mechaber quotes the Rambam. Lotisa is a Doraisa that is violated not just through Shua Shav, as Rashi would seem to indicate in his Perish Al Torah, but rather... in a brach shein etzricha. So the question is, how do you go l'chumro in a suffik iser of lotisa? Does anybody want to say the Prima Gadol without even seeing it? And when I gave the shiur on Shabbos, somebody came up with this.
I mean,
it's a beautiful svara. Why are you reciting the bracha, Azriel?
Well, you could say. I mean, when you're talking about brachas. In general, you're talking about, I mean, you know, brachas on a henin, or, you know, brachas, legitimate types of brachas.
Too long, Azri. I need something very short. Sorry. I need something, you know, just if you say it in 3 words, I'll know exactly what you're saying.
I mean, the loitisa type of bracha.
Why is this violation of lotisa unique, in which I would not necessarily apply the principle of Safik Lachum? Again, what are we dealing with? The whole shia, the whole discussion today is about what? Bracha Levatola, correct?
Right.
What does Levatola mean? That you didn't need the bracha.
Yeah. Right. If you made the bracha and you...
Because what?
Because you want to thank Hashem.
No, but Mark, why are you making the bracha now? I don't know if I recited Birchas Hamotzi. I don't know if I benched or not. Why am I making the bracha? If I don't know if I benched.
Trying to cover up.
Yeah, cover my bases, maybe. I didn't recite benching yet. Is that called a bracha of Atola? Take a look at the Prima Gadol. A beautiful svar of the Prima Gadol, Givaldik. He says on the bottom of page 1, Hoil umipnei asafik mechuyav levarech befoal. Since you're in a situation of suffix, you don't know if you benched it. And the rule here is suffix d'oraisa, L'chumra. So under the halachas of chiyuve benching, you're going to recite the bracha because the Torah requires you to make that bracha if you don't know if you made the bracha. Because in Doraisas we have to be machmir. Su ein zu bracha batola kla. Even if Klap Ishmael Gali says that you already recited the bracha and you don't need the second bracha, but since you don't know, and the Torah gives you the rule of suffik Doraisa l'chumra, it's not a bracha levatola. It's not in vain. Gevaldige chap over here. He says the normal halachas of safek lechumra don't apply in the case of lotisa, because since through safek chiyuv lechumra I have to make the bracha, if that justifies my making the bracha, it's not a bracha in vain. It's not for naught, and therefore it doesn't constitute a violation of lotisa.
But then you would say that by any mitzvah that you did, right?
Only if it gives you that reshus.
Again, no. if you want to do a mitzvah because you're not sure if you did it or not, it's kol kavod lecha. You know, you want to be pious, and even a suffix, let's say you didn't know if you heard the Megillah or not, you were yotz in the Megillah, you heard this word, that word, you missed it, so you want to go hear the Megillah again.
So
go ahead and hear the Megillah again. What do I care? There's no lotisa over here.
There's no penalty for being clueless.
What do you say?
There's no penalty for being clueless or being accidental.
Maybe when you bench, you should write yourself a note. I benched. The story about the toast. All right, we won't get into that. Now, if you turn to page 2, we're going to ask the following question, and that is, what about a bracha d'rabbanan? I don't know if I made hamotzi or not. So do I repeat hamotzi in a bracha d'rabbanan?
No.
Says the Rambam, mipnei shumi divrayim, I don't repeat the bracha. Why not? If you tell me I'm a chayev to make the bracha, fine, but let's say I want to make the bracha. You're telling me you're discouraging me from making the bracha. You're blocking me from making the bracha. Why? Because of lo tisa. I don't get it. If I'm making the bracha for the purpose of being yotzei the bracha, because I don't know if I recited hamotzi or I didn't.
What's the problem?
So what's the problem? It's again, you understand, once you accept the prima gadim svara, hook, line, and sinker, you should apply it even to a bracha derabana. Ah, the answer is that there's no justification to make the bracha. Why? Because the halach in derabana is something derabana, lekula, so you have no chiyuv bracha. You want to be pious? Don't be pious when you might be violating lotis.
There it is, and over there, it makes it not a bracha levatala by the deraisa.
Okay, now we get to the exciting part of the Shia. And this is the Chai Adam, the second paragraph from page 2. This is, Rav Avram Danzig wrote two famous works. One is the Chai Adam, and one is the Nishmas Adam. So the Chai Adam in his Nishmas Adam says no such Rambam exists. There is no such thing as Bracha Levatola violating an Isur Dorais. It cannot be. Das ken it sein. And maybe he'll wave the flag, Bobby, of the Chaf HaDimyon. I don't know. Why can't it be? Listen to the words of the Chai Adam. Gevaldige word. He says, could bracha levatola be any worse than someone who stands up on a day, on a nice spring or summer day, and decides to praise God? He omer divrei shevach utehila l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. In his own language. I mean, what's the difference between if I get up to God, you're great, you're mighty, you're wonderful, you've done so much for me, you're infinite, you're omniscient, and saying, thank you, O God, for creating the fruits or the produce of grains, so I can eat bread from the land. Well, what difference does it make? See, you said it in a Lashon Bracha. So what? If you had said it in your own personal language, that would not be a violation of Hazkar Hashem Shemayim Levatola. And furthermore, he doesn't understand, says the Chai Adam. Min HaTorah, there is no such thing as Matbea Brachos. Matbea Brachos were created by the Anshei Knesset Gdola. So how could it be that once the Anshei Knesset Gdola instituted Brachos to be recited at certain times and at certain occasions, if you do them when you don't have to, all of a sudden you violate Issur Torah? I mean, the whole institution of Brachos is Derabbanan. It was a creation of the Rabbanan. How could it possibly entail a violation of a Doraisa? And furthermore, in the case of Motzi Shem Shemayel Vatola, you violate an essay, as the Gemara says. As Shem Shemel Kekotira. There's no lav of Lotisa. So how could it possibly be that if you mention the name of God for nothing, you violate what? An essay. But if you make a bracha, you violate a lav? How could that be? Meaning, says the Chayonim, even if I were to grant you, if you would give me too much alcohol to drink and I was so drunk that you convinced me that somehow making this bracha, even though I'm praising Almighty God, is like wasting God's name, so what? Maskir bracha, maskir shem shemayim v'tov is only what? An essay. How could it possibly be that I violate a lotaseh of lotisa for mentioning the name of God? So let's review three arguments of the Chayadim. They're all one, really. But three variations of the same argument based on which the Chayadim says there couldn't be such a Rambam. It just couldn't exist. It's illogical. It's impossible. Number one, how could a bracha sheina tzricha be worse than divrei shevach tehillah b'lashono shelo, if you praise Almighty God in your own language? Secondly, how could it be that the Torah doesn't know, doesn't recognize, my bare brachos, these were instituted by and created by the Chachamim, and yet now you violate an Issur Torah? And thirdly, so Zion, if I grant you that there's a violation of an Issur Torah because you mentioned the name of God unnecessarily, so that comes under Maskir Shem Shemayim Levatola. What's it got to do with Shvu Hashav? What does it have to do with the Lav of Lotisa? If I would grant you in the worst case scenario, or the best case scenario, that you violate Askar Shem Shemayim Levatola, so let it be an essay. But that you're going to tell me the Rambam holds that Bracha Shein Etzrich is a violation of a Lav? That I cannot accept. Therefore, the Chai Adam submits that the Rambam agrees to the Bali Atosis, open and shut case, there's no machlokas about this, and a bracha sheina tzricha is only an Iser Dirabbanan. 2 points. Number one, or 3 points. Number one, and this is the Ha'ara, the third paragraph on your page. First of all, the Rambam's language seems to indicate clearly that it's a Doraisa. So you have to push it into the Rambam. Point number two, the Rambam says explicitly in Tshuvas, there's something called Perador, that the Isur Bracha Vatol is Minat Torah. And he says, therefore, in the case of Sufik Brachos, meaning a normal Bracha, Bracha Darabonon, a classic Bracha, it's a Sufik Doraisa of Lotisa, and therefore we're not allowed to make the Bracha. The Rambam goes on record explicitly in his Tshuvas that Bracha Vatol is Minat Torah. And it comes under Lotisa. And that's exactly as we saw in the Magen Avraham. Number three, not only is it in the Magen Avraham, in the Prima Gadim, as we saw, it's also in Reb Ki Vega, and that's the tshuva on the bottom of page 2 that we want to study now, Mirtz Hashem. And that they all agree in the Rambam, it's the Magen Avraham, it's Reb Ki Vega, it's the Prima Gadim, that the Rambam holds that Bracha Sheina Tzricha L'Gufa constitutes a violation of Lotisa Doraisa. But, and not only that, the Rambam himself to boot, I mean that's the topping on the cake, the Rambam himself to boot in the Tshuva says it. We mentioned also Sefer Yoshua Neim Rabbeinu Ephraim. But what do we do with the very, very cogent and powerful argument of the Chayot? Good? All right. Let's take a look at the tshuva of Reb Ki Vega. Reb Ki Vega was asked a fascinating question. I'd love to say Shalom Aleichem to the guy who asked the question. The guy who asked the question said the following. You don't know if you recited a bracha. You know what? I got an etza for you. Recite the bracha in English. In Laz. He says, in terms of the violation of the Iser of Lotisa, you've covered your bases. Because you didn't violate Lotisa in a language other than... You don't violate Lotisa in a language other than Lashon Kodesh. As far as the Chiyuv Bracha is concerned, the Bracha can be recited in any language. Reb Ki Vega says, nay. It's wrong. Why is it wrong? He says, the Iser of Bracha Vatol applies if you mention God's name in a Bracha. Afilu b'Lashon Laz. And therefore your Eita to recite a bracha in the case of suffering and Laz is not going to help me one iota. I'm still stuck. Why does Rabbi Kiveger assume that bracha of Atal applies in Lashon Laz? So he says the following. Even though as Karas Shem Shamayim Levatol, I'd ask you to underline that. Hugak Bishiva Shemos She'enam Nimchakim. Okay, now we have to create a new extension of our table. The Iser of Hazkara Shem Shamayim Levatolis is Rabbi Kiveger only applies in what's called the Sheva Shemos She'enam Nimchakim. If we have a Rav Misori HaTorah, I'll read to you those names. But lo belaz velo bekinuyim can go in rachum v'chanun. So if a person would clap on the table and say God is a rachum or say rachum for no reason, he doesn't violate the Iser Aseh of Es Hashem Elokecha Tirov Haskar Hashem Shemayim Levatola. Why, says Rabbi Kiveger? Because Haskar Hashem Shemayim Levatola is a subcategory or an extension of the Iser Mechikas Hashem. And the Shachin Yoredeya, which you'll see on page 3, the Shachin Yoredeya holds that the Iser Mechikas Hashem, or maybe it's not that Shach, one second, the Iser Mechikas Hashem only applies in the Shemos She'enam Nimchakim. That's why they're called Shemos She'enam Nimchakim, the seven names of God, the holy, holy names of God, that if you write them on a parchment and you destroy that parchment, you violate the Iser of Mechikas Hashem. However, says Rabbi Kiveger, even though Azkar Hashem Shemayim Levatola as a subcategory of Mechikas Hashem is limited to and only applies in the seven names, She'enam Nimchakim, but in the case of Bracha Levatola, which is a subcategory and an extension of Lotisa Hashem Hashem Lashav, it is not an extension of Mechikas Hashem. Kishem Sheshvu Hashav V'Sheker Ikal Lav. Just like in the paradigm, the Av, we'll call it the Av of Shvu Hashav or Sheker, the Lav is violated, even with Kinuyim, meaning even with the names other than the Sheva Shemos, like Rachum and Chanun. Even though the Torah says Lotisa Hashem Hashem Lashav, right? It says Lashem in the Pasuk. Nevertheless, the word Shem here has a broader definition and incorporates any name of God, no matter whether it's the Shemos, Hakdoshim, the Sheva Shemos, or the Kinuyim, and even Laz, as the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Shavuos, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. And if somebody would have the time to look that up for me, we can. And therefore, says Rabbi Kiveger, since Bracha Levatola is a subcategory of what? Of Lotisa. And since Lotisa applies even Bekinuyim, even Bilaz, therefore Bracha Levatola likewise applies both in what? In Kinuyim and even Bilaz. So therefore your Eitzah, here the Rambam says, Echad HaNishpa B'shem HaMiyuchad B'Echad Min HaKinuyim Kigon, Chanun, etc., Rachum, Erchapayim, etc., etc., Hareze Shvua Gemura. So in Hilchos Shvuos, we equate other Shemos with the Shemos Sheinam Nimchaki. And therefore, the same thing applies, says Rabbi Kiveger, to Bracha Levatola, which is an extension and a violation of Otisa, Shem Hashem Lashav of Shvua. And if in that grouping, the Iser applies even in Kinuyim and even Belaz. So your Eitzah to recite a Bracha Belaz is not going to help you one bit, because you don't circumvent and solve the problem of Lotisa. Says Rabbi Kiveger, you'll ask me, how could it be that Bracha Levatola is more Chamur than Azkara Ba'alma? Right? Because if you mention the name of God in vain, that only applies to which names of God? Shiva Shemos. But if you make a Bracha, then that Lav, if it's Lashav Levatola, will apply even Bekinuyim and even Belaz. How could it be? Says Rabbi Kiveger, don't ask me that question. Because in the case of Bracha Levatola, the Rambam says you violate a Lav Lotisa. In the case of Azkar Hashem Shemayim Levatola, you only violate an essay. So he sort of begs the question. He pushes it off onto the Rambam, and he says, well, the Rambam himself told me that Bracha Levatol is more chamur than Azkar Hashem Shemayim Lashav. I'm just fearing ice, you know, I'm just, yeah.
That's because of the structure. In other words, the Haskarah's shame, you just mentioned the shame, and you have no structure to it.
So correct.
Therefore, it's only the Shiva shamus that will work. But here, you're dealing within a structure of whether it's Brokul Atala or Shvua.
Right.
And so, therefore,
the framework, the structure,
framework
that generates, that upgrades the Avera, makes it into an Averas what? An Averas La.
Why do you say that? That's the thing.
It has to be.
Okay, we have to try to understand that. But I'm saying those are the facts on the ground. And keep in mind now the halacha that we began with, that in the case of Haskarah Shem Shemayim Levatol, which is only a violation of an essay, the Rambam says Yechayv Nidui. But he's not willing to say that the Shomea is chayv to put someone into Nidui, such that if he doesn't do, only when you violate the law, which the Rambam has in two cases, if you remember the Tumim. The Tumim's Chiddush, and there are others in the Akronim, that only in the cases of Shvua Shav and Brachal Vatol, if you hear them, are you chayev to put him into Nidui, and if you don't do so, the failure of which generates a chayev Nidui. So we're already seeing, in many different forms and shapes, the difference between the two sides of our table. That Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola is only an essay. It only applies to the Sheva Shemos. And the one who hears it is not chayav to put the guy into Nidui. There's no immediate response. We'll zap him with a Nidui. Whereas once we cross the line into Shvua Shav, or, for that matter, according to the Shittas HaRambam, the way most of the Achronim had it, except for the Chayadam, that there's a violation in Bracha Levatola of the Lav of Lotisa. Now we're talking about Averis HaLav. Now we're talking about expanding it into Kinuyim and Laz. And now we're talking about a situation in which the Shomea is chayav to put the guy into Nidui. Says Bobby Shlita that the answer is because it's in a framework. It wasn't just Glatt in the Velterai and he mentions the name of God, but he uses a framework. Good. I like frameworks. Somebody wrote a book called Framework. But what does it mean, a framework? So in the bottom paragraph, I formulate the question, because this is, I think, the impasse. Here's where we're up. We need a breakthrough. Yesh lanu levayer. Ma tam. Why is it that Bracha Levatola, Bracha Levatola, on the bottom of page 2, the last paragraph, Harei Me'ata.
That's not part of the
community. This is my summary of where we're holding. You know, I like to make... what do you call them? What's the word in English when you... Sikum Beinayim in Hebrew. How do you say that in English? You know, you get to a certain point and you want to summarize what you've done. There's a way of saying it in English. But anyway, in Hebrew it's called the Sikum Beinayim. So what's the Sikum Beinayim? On the one hand, Bracha Levatola is more severe than Haskarah Shem Shamayim Levatola because it's prohibited even in Laz. And Shem Shemayim is only the Sheva Shemos and doesn't apply neither to Kiduyim nor to Laz. And with regard to Shvua Shav, why is the Shvua Shav more severe than Haskarah Levatola greater? In Shvua Shav you have a Lav, and in Shvua Shav you apply it to Kiduyim and to what? And to Laz. Is that here, I think, we have to introduce a concept which is very fundamental, which we mentioned before. If we swing back to first base again, to home plate, I should call it, do you remember that we said that if you don't fulfill your obligation to put someone into Nidui, you yourself are chayav Nidui. Why? Remember, we spoke about an accomplice to the crime, but what crime sucks you in if you don't protest?
Because you seem to be saying it's okay.
Chil Hashem.
You're allowing Chil Hashem.
Yeah. So if you take a look on the top of page 3, this is my own formulation of a chidush that my son in Eretz Yisrael told me, in the name of Rav Ozer. I don't know who Rav Ozer is, but Omer Dover V'Shem Omro. And I'm not sure exactly if what I'm presenting to you is what he had in mind, but I think it's excellent in any event. So it's either his, or let's say it's 90% his, maybe it's 10% ours, or maybe the other way around. I don't know. You ready for this? Okay. In the case of Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, That means Haskar Hashem Shamayim Levatola, the Gemara Tmura that we began with. The nature and the essence of the Avera is disrespect, lack of reverence for a certain entity. And what is that entity? The Shem Hashem. In that case, Motzi Shem Shamayim Levatola is a subset, is a told of what Av? What would be the most severe expression of lack of reverence for the name of God? Mechikas Hashem. What's Mechikas Hashem? I take the name of God, put it down in writing, and then I destroy it? So therefore the halacha is, if the avera is vis-a-vis the shame, that's an avera chamura. That's a lack of yiras Hashem to the shame. It only applies to the seven shemes HaKadosh. The seven shemo shemen v'mchakim have a certain holiness, a certain status, that generates the avera of eshem Hashem olkecha tira. You see the name of God? You want to mention the name of God? Stuch. Shem Yishamayim. You got to be tzitter. You have to be reverent to the name of God. What is the name of God? There are seven names. However, Lotisa is a different halach. Lotisa is not irreverence to the name of God, but irreverence to Almighty God Himself. That's Chil Hashem. What do I mean? Kvod Shamayim generates an iser of what I call Netilas Hashem. What's the difference between Hazkaras Hashem Levatola and Netilas Hashem? Let's take the case of Shvua Shav. A man wants to take a Shvua. Maybe he wants to impress you. Like you asked me before, Israel, why is he saying in front of me? He wants to impress me that this tablet of stone is made out of gold. How does he do it?
He swears.
And he swears with what? With
Hashem.
The Easter is not the shame itself. The Easter is that you've used God for your purposes. That's what I call netila.
Doesn't matter what lashon.
Is memela, kvod Hashem, is not limited to the shame of Sakadoshim. If the Easter is generated by the shame, then you could talk about limiting it to the shame of Shein of Nimchaki. But if you're talking about an Iser, which is a pigia in Kvod Shamayim, you're being Mechal Kvod Shamayim because you decided that you want to use God for your purposes, who are you? You're not even a mosquito in the cosmos of the universe. You're going to use God to achieve your goals. I want to show you something fascinating at the end of page 4. I'm sort of jumping ahead of myself. There's a Rav Perlow who writes a super commentary on the Rasag Sefer HaMitzvos. And he says the following. He says that it's the last line before I shrunk the font, if you see. Kisha mazkiro besichas havoy hareze mishamesh b'shem Hashem l'dvarim b'teil. V'yesh kan nisiyus shem Hashem l'shof. Listen to this. Underline the two words, sichas havoy, if you found them. Did you find those two words? Rav Perlow has an unbelievable chiddush. And we'll see later, if we have time, how he uses that to faren for a stira to answer up a kash of all the gdol. He says that if I would just mention the name of God, that would be a violation of Es Hashem El Shechem Kitiva. That would be an Isra Aseh. But if I would use God's name for the purpose of what? What was this beautiful phrase? He calls it Besichas Havoy. And you've heard it, where people say, you know, God this and God that. You know what I'm saying? They want to impress you with their stupidities of whatever they're saying. You know, he calls it Havoy. It's meaningless. So what do? They mention God's name. It's so much a part of our culture, some people don't even do it consciously. But they really are using... He claims, of Perla, that would be a violation of the law of Lotisa. Wait a minute. And we'll see the import of this in terms of how he builds a whole structure to find for Akashans. Hazkar Shem Hashem Lashav is only a violation of an essay. It doesn't come under Lotisa. The answer is, because he too, in this case, is not just mentioning God. That's not just the reverence to God's name. He's using the name of God for his purposes. What does he want to create? He wants to create, you know, those Spielberg movie effects. You know, those things where he shakes you up. You know, he's going to impress you and dramatize you. That's not just irreverence to the name of God. That's netilas Hashem. That's taking the shame and using it for your purposes. It reminds me just al derech association. I mean, I'm not equating them. The Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah speaks about a person who makes the Torah into a kardam lach parbam. Notice, it's bad enough if you have irreverence to the Torah. It's a lot worse, and the Rambam has terrible things to describe this person, if he uses the Torah for his purposes. You know, the Torah is osir ha'anoha, so to speak. Here also, you want to use Hashem for your purposes, for your goals? That's called a netila? Then you pogea, then you undermine, you impinge on Kvod Shamayim.
It's difficult to narrow this down.
In cases, you mean? In specific cases? You mean there's some ambiguity in cases?
Would you not say so?
I'm not sure what you have in mind. But Joe, if you don't mind, let me just enjoy the geschmack of this, you know, before... I mean, the taste of it, you know... somebody invited me to a barbecue today. I enjoy good barbecued meat, but this even might... topple it. Maybe. Just maybe, you know. This is just so geschmack. Take a look on the top of page 3, the way we summarize it. He says, Lo harei iser azkaras shem levatola ki iser shvu ashav. There's a fundamental difference here between the two sides of our model. In the case of azkar levatola, there's zilzul b'shem. You know, as you're attacking and vitiating the sanctity of the Azkar itself. And Zeino Noeg Ba, because he's indicating irreverence of a minute Kedusha, he's not being Noeg Kedusha vis-a-vis the shame. However, in the case of Shvua Shav, here the Torah is not objecting to your misuse of the name of God in the sense of the name per se, but rather the Kped is on Kvodo Shalom Makom Atzmo. Who does Makom mean? Means Rebbeinu Shlom, the Eibishter. Shemishtamish b'shmo u'bichvodo l'davar batel. He wants to impress you that this tablet of stone is made of gold, which is meaningless. So what does he do? He takes an oath. I swear by my bubbies, you know this. He takes the name of God. He says, Zeu inyan lav shalotisa shenotel eshmo u'kvodo yisbarach. Umishtamesh be'emtzo uso. That's a heavy word, that be'emtzo uso. He uses God's name as a vehicle for a davar shel shav, a davar shel sheker. That's called netila. In Tanakh, you'll find the word netila and nesia as being interchangeable. And therefore, it's clear that this is a much more severe iser, because what's at stake here is not just the name of God as an entity, as a cheftza, but the kvodo shel makom. Not just the kvod of the Azkar itself, but the kvod of Shalmakom. And therefore, included in this Avera is not just the Shemos Sheinam Nimchachim, but also the Kinuyim and Laz. Because when it comes to Chil Hashem, the kvod of Hashem expresses itself not just in specific Shemos, and it doesn't matter whether you mention it in this language or that language, but the Isra Azkara, which is a subcategory of the Isra Mechika, there it's an Avera vis-a-vis the shame of Hashem, and that requires the Kedusha of the Shem Oshenim Nimchakim. And therefore the Isra doesn't apply in the case of Kinuyim, but only in Shemos. So therefore, if you mention God's name, Glatten the Veltarain, it's got to be one of the Sheva Shemos in order to violate the essay, which is Maskir Shem Shemayim Vatol, as a subset of Mechikas Hashem. Therefore, we come out to a fundamental distinction between these two categories. Whereas one is an Avera vis-a-vis the shame with its Kedusha, the other is an Avera vis-a-vis the Kvod Shamayim, and therefore constitutes Chil Hashem. If this be the case, then perhaps we could understand the sheet of a number of Rishonim, the Ra'ah and the Rashba and Shavuos, which is a mind-boggling sheet, that you violate Lotisa even if you didn't mention the name of Hashem at all. You took a shvu without the shame. What's going on over here? The Torah says Lotisa shame Hashem Lashav. You didn't mention God's name. You took a shvu and you didn't mention Hashem. Says Rav Pearl El Tema. Hala Yisoda Isu Mishum Nesia Shem Shemayim Lashav O Lasheker. And he didn't mention God's name at all. So Rav Pearl, with his vast knowledge, I mean, if you've ever seen him, it's three gigantic volumes. The man knows everything. He quotes the Tosfos written in Dorot, who says that Stam Shvua, anytime a person takes a Shvua, it's considered a Shvua B'Shem. In other words, the name of mentioning and enunciating the name of God is just a technicality. The Shvu itself, with its power, it's inherently, what do you say?
It's implicit.
Implicit in the Shvua is the Shem Hashem. Rebbeinu Shalom. So therefore, says Rav Pearl, you violate the Isra of Lotisa with a Shvua without mentioning Hashem's name because it's implicit? The answer is, because since it's implicit, you are again using the power of God, so to speak, His divine powers which are inherent in a Shvua for your purposes. What difference does it make when you said the name or not? In Hilchas Hazkaras Hashem, you would certainly have to mention the name. The Shach has a very interesting chiddush. What happens to if a person wrote the name of God without any kavan? He didn't have kavanah to be makash. You know, when a sofer writes the shemos, he goes to mikvah, he has kavanah, lazkaras Hashem to be makadish the shem. What happens if the name of Hashem was written without kavanah? Without kavanah lakacho? So the Shach says you're allowed to destroy it. So the Pre-Chadosh and the Ein Yitzchak, the Ein Yitzchak of Yitzchak Chonspect, and other Achronim say that the Shach holds that Isa Mechika, Baz Karshalon is Kacha, Eina Elamid Rabbana. So they all ask the Kasha, but the Gemara says in Erechin Dav Vav, and the Rambam Paskins it in Yisodi HaTorah Perek Vav, that Shem Shekosuv Al Yodos HaKelim. If you write the name of God on these kli cheres, on the handle of a kli, and then you hold it and you inadvertently you destroy the name of God, you blot it out, you erase it, the Gemara says that you violate a lavdo raisa, even though there was no kiddush, there was no sanctification. Isn't this a stira against the Shach?
It's a lavdo raisa.
Yeah, it's a lavdo raisa.
What is the lavdo raisa?
Oh, lotasim kein l'shem elokeicha, which is a subcategory of Mechikas Hashem. But perhaps we could say that what's the definition of Lotasun? It's not just an Iser of Chilul Kedushas Hashem, but there's also an Iser of Zilzul B'Kvod HaMakom. And since the Kvod HaMakom expresses itself, even within the context of a Shem She'eino Nikdash, it wasn't written with Kavonas Kiddush, nevertheless, it's called a Pagiyah in Shem Shamayim. So in other words, it's not being pogay in the shame, because the shame has no kedusha, there was no kavanah to be kaddish the shame. But and this is no gaya, by the way, ma'od ma'od la'aloch. You know, you have all sorts of books that are printed, you know, and maybe the printing press itself, by definition, doesn't have kavanah's kiddush. So, you know, people are very careful about, you know, these kinds of sidurim and chumashim, and they put it in this, and they pile it, and they put in shemus of page 4, you know, all this stuff. Are you really obligated, Mikar Adin, to do that? So according to the Shach, I would say absolutely not, because there's no Isa Mechikas Hashem as far as Hashem Sheino Nimchak. Again, you might have an Isa Darabonah that you have to figure out. But according to the Gemara in Erechin, Shem Shekosav Al Yodayim, even though you don't violate the Isa Mechika, but you violate Lotasun, then maybe there's another additional Isa, even without the Kedushas Hashem, of not being Pogay and Kvod HaMakom, and Kvod HaMakom is going to be undermined even if there's no kedusha to the shame itself. If this be the case, then perhaps we can understand the Birkei Yosef, and we're about to wrap it up. The Birkei Yosef wants to understand the Rambam in another tshuva. Remember we quoted the Rambam in tshuvas before? That was Kufhei in Peradar. So the Rambam in Peradar, in a different tshuva, Shin Lamed Gimel, writes that Chachamim, this is the Lashon of the Rambam, Chachamim heim shetiknu abracha, Vehem sha'amru shekolam avarech bracha sheinetzricha over mishum losase. What does that sound like to you when he says Heim sha'amru shekolam avarech bracha sheinetzricha over mishum losase?
Rabbanah.
It sounds like a Rabbanah. That's against the Rambam in his own tshuva. Do you follow? Now we have a stira within the Rambam. So, Bobby, your kir over, right? Your chafadimion would be lechora reflected in the language of the Rambam in Tshuva Shin Lamed Gimel, where he says, "Heim chachamim shetiknu bracha, heim shamru shekolam avarak bakshen tzichover lo saseh." It sounds like it's all the Rabbanah. Says the Birkei Yosef, there's no contradiction between the two tshuvos. Yes, the Rambam maintains that bracha sheina tzricha, bracha vatola is an isur Torah. Avola isur shayach rak. This is the bottom of page 3. You have it. Ha isur shayach rak li achash etiknu chacham. What the Rambam wants to say in tshuva shin lamed gimel is that this isur Torah only applies historically after the Rabbanan made the takana of Tofes HaBrachos. After the Rabbanan created this Cheftish al Bracha, and they limited your ability, your license to recite those brachas to certain times and certain occasions. The Kevan Sha'amru Shein Levarech Shalob Isman Aroi. Therefore, when he goes ahead and he makes this bracha Shalob Isman Aroi, he violates the lav, the oraisa of lotisa. And here I think we have an answer to the kasha of the chayodim. Let's review. The chayodim says, how could it be that I violate a lav, the oraisa of lotisa, by reciting a bracha sheina tzricha? If I would have praised Hashem in my own language, that would be fine. If I would have recited this bracha before the takana of the Rabbanon, I would have been fine. And if you call it as Kar Shem Shemaim, that's only an essay. Is the answer is that once the Rabbanon created an entity called a bracha, and he wants to use the name of God to create that bracha, is that becomes already netila. He's taking the name and using it for his purposes. This, Bobby, is what you were talking about, a framework. That was the key word, framework. But I think we added a whole new understanding of framework. It's the framework itself is an achievement that you want to gain and obtain. Through what method? By using Shem Hashem, and it's all of Atola. That's an Isur Lav of Lotisa. That's already a Pagia in Kavod HaMakom. And therefore, the Chayodim's arguments are not arguments at all. Once the Rabbanon created this new entity called a Bracha, a Tofes HaBracha, and a kiyum and a chalushim cheftish al bracha, now you want to obtain and create that entity. Lashav, levatola, you have no right to do so. Now you're being pogeg for Hashem. Now you're being a no-tail shem shemayim levatola. That's no difference than using Hashem for the purpose of creating a shvur. Or as the Rav Perlau says, for divrei sichas havoi. Then you're in violation of a lav doraisa of lotisa. And full swing back to the original Rambam about the chiv to put a person into cherim. Remember, the Rambam says, according to the Tumim, that's Rav Yonis and Ivishitz, that if you hear someone being maskir shein shemayim latol, the Rambam says he's chayev cherim. He is chayev cherim, but you're not chayev to put him into cherim. He's chayev cherim because as kar shein shemayim latol means an irreverence to the name, the entity, the name of God, the holy name of God. What are the shemas Hashem? Hakdoshim sheinim nimchakim. He deserves a very severe punishment. But you're not chayev to punish him. There are many, many. The Rambam has a list of 24 averas for which a person deserves nidah. But the Rambam never says in Hilchos Talmud Torah that if you don't put him into nidah, you yourself deserve nidah. He reserves that for Hilchos Shavuos, for the violation of lotisa in two cases of shua shav and bracha sheina tzricha. You heard it. You heard someone use Shem Shemayim Netilas Hashem for his purposes. That's a Pagiyah in Kvod Shemayim. That constitutes what? Chil Hashem? You said nothing? You're chayiv to put him into Nidui. If you don't fulfill that chiv, then you yourself are chayiv Nidui.
Why is that not Chil Hashem with regard to the Shabbos in the first place? Why? Why wouldn't you not say that? Why would you say that's also not the name of Chil Hashem?
Because that's an Avera vis-a-vis the Shem. Again, the shame now is an entity.
I would ask his question a little differently, which we always do. I would say, could you not pull Mechikas shame into the category of, by doing it, let's say, if I took it and I Farhesia, and I said, okay, I am being Mechik the shame.
You could, but, again, what we're saying is, and you know, the Gemaras themselves distinguish, and Memela the Torah itself distinguishes between Yiras Hashem or Mechikas Hashem on the one hand, and Lotisa on the other hand, which is a lav in the case of Shvuah Shav. I mean, those are the facts on the ground. You could have logically gone a step further and said, well, anyone who is mochek es Hashem or is mazkir es Hashem levatola and therefore demonstrates that you add the drama of publicly an irreverence to the name of God, he, willy-nilly, he's now been mechal kvod shamayim. You could have said that. But the Torah left it as an avera chamura. You have nidui for that. But it's only in a violation of an Isur Esli. You go a step beyond and now, crossing the bounds, you exceed that one little level and you add a usage of the name of God. You say, I declare that not only am I irreverent to the name of God, but I'm going to use the name of God for my purposes. Who are you? You're a little nothing in the universe, in God's infinite universe, and you're going to use the name. That's already going too far. But the Chiddush is, and that's the Rambam Shita, that in such a case, if you recite a bracha sheina tzricha, that itself, because of the entity of a bracha that you're creating, is considered netilas Hashem, that comes under pgiyah kvod shamayim of lotis. All right then? We'll stop here.